Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and Svetlana Lakova, the author of The Spy Who Changed History, and a history of the use of the NKVD and Russian state security in the late 20s and early 1930s of last century, by Joseph Stalin, by the General Secretary of the Communist Party, by the Politburo, to use them to infiltrate the United States and steal, manufacture, provoke, undermine, conduct espionage against the United States and its apparatus. Eventually, of course, the Soviet Union and the United States and the United Kingdom will work together in the Second War. They will be allies. But in the 1920s and 1930s, there was an illegal transfer of intellectual property. We now call it spying, from America, MIT in particular, but all the aeronautical engineering, all the airplane factories across the country, to Russia. That was a very successful operation run by Joseph Stalin. It is the chrysalis of how state security came to be such an effective force outside of Russia and inside of Russia, because state security had many faces, many departments, but it was obedient to the center, to the executive, to the Communist Party. She's also the author, most recently, of Spygate Exposed, which is the story of how, as a scholar at Cambridge University, mentored by Christopher Andrews and others, she is caught up in what looks to be an effort by someone to undermine America and to darken the path forward for democracy. For 4 or 5 years, the allegation has been that this was done by the Republicans working with the Russians. Now there's reason to believe that the tables are being turned. And in fact, there was Russian participation in the case of a Russian national, Danchenko. But there was mostly false witnessing. So I call upon you, Svetlana, to give us a sense of perspective. You know, we know some of the way the FBI behaved through these many years, and it wasn't honorably. In the case of your investigation, there were plenty of opportunities and for the FBI to recognize that they were being given falsehoods and that the falsehoods didn't pan out even in the cursory investigation, and yet they continue to press ahead with an investigation or to use the same false witness that would be Halper who had misled them to begin with. Now, when it comes to Russiagate proper, the larger story, good heavens, there's nowhere I can't start where the FBI is not involved in either being misled, allowing itself to be misled, being credulous, being naive, being simple, being bureaucratic to the point of failure. What is your measure about how state security worked in Russia, Soviet Union, and today? Russian state security is a continuation of the original institutions. And your brush up against the FBI and other elements of state security, intelligence we call it in America, the intelligence community. What is your measure about the trustworthiness of these institutions?
So, thank you, John. So the first thing to remember is, obviously, that we need those organizations. And we need them because they're there to protect us. So we, therefore, voluntarily, citizens, give these security organizations enormous amount of power, of surveillance, of investigatory powers, etc. And the reason why we do so by consent is because we want to be protected, and therefore the people who work for those organizations have to be not just good people, but they have to be, you know, beyond any kind of shadow of doubt that there are. They have to be competent. They have to be reliable. As an example, a word of FBI agent in court is considered testimonial, meaning that it's just as good as a document or as an audio recording, as a photograph. Another example is if the FBI agent or the FBI director signs on a piece of paper saying that they confirm that the information here is correct, the court will give them this enormous surveillance powers, which is what happened in the FISA, you know, the so-called FISAs, you know, so this with the applications to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, where Trump campaign and later presidency was put under surveillance because the FBI swore to the secret courts that they have enough probable cause to think that Trump, you know, people are Russian agents. And the court didn't even have to check whether this was true because the word of the FBI was enough. Now, ordinarily, you know, we'd consider it's a good thing that we have the institutions in place that they're there to protect us, right? Because they can catch terrorists or mafia or the bad guys. We want them to catch the bad guys. What problem we have is when those powers are turned against us, regular citizens, and against the civilians. And in the case of Russiagate, that precisely is what happened. So what happened was that the operation against Donald Trump as candidate and later as a president was, you know, initially what started off as a relatively standard dirty tricks operation in the, you know, in the campaigning season. That should have never gone further than that. So as unethical as it was to, you know, say bad things about Trump and his people and put them into the media, it's bad, it's unethical, but in the end of the day, that's what could happen sometimes in the campaigns, right? But the boundary has been crossed, the red line has been crossed when people who are working for Hillary Clinton went to the FBI and told them, and this is what the Durham indictment so far have been all about, and told them that the information that they collected were part of, they led them to believe that the Trump team represents national security threat. So it goes from collecting dirt on your opponent to this now becoming an interest of the state, because the state, the FBI, the government, has to investigate any national security threats. So whoever planned it, whoever is the architect of this, and we still don't know who that is, it's very clever. Because instead of, you know, mudslinging in the media, they went way further. They made it a job of the government to investigate Donald Trump and his people because he started to represent in their submissions national security threat, which is why you have, for example, Sussman, who was a former DOJ guy. He goes to the FBI as an expert, and he doesn't tell the FBI he works for Hillary Clinton. And he says, look, I have his concerns as a good citizen and as an expert. I have his concerns about Donald Trump being in cahoots with Russia. Well, the FBI, by their rules, would have to investigate that. The same happens with Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele is on the FBI books. They pay him. He's a validated confidential human source. And they consider him highly reliable because he previously was the agent for MI6, which is the British Security Services, and an ally. Therefore, they take whatever he gives them. You know, if a regular citizen comes to the FBI and says, oh, somebody's having, you know, orgies with prostitutes in the hotel, the FBI would laugh them out of the room. But in this case, because he came as a gold-plated guy, right, because he was representing himself as an intelligence officer from an allied intelligence services, he said, you have to take me seriously. You have to take everything I tell you seriously because I'm your trusted source. And therefore, he could then package whatever Danchenko and people behind Danchenko, such as, you know, Steele Handler, who was Clinton operative, as we can read from the indictment, and others, fed into the dossier, but Christopher still presents this to be genuine information, which is very important for U.S. national security. The same happens with Stephen Halper. Stephen Halper is another verified, validated, confidential human source. He comes in and said, oh, this is terrible. Michael Flynn is a national security risk because he met this Russian woman who happens to be me, and she's this Russian intelligence officer who I'm not, and she seduced him, which I didn't. But you got to investigate it because it's a national security threat. And Carter Page, oh, my God, you know, this is another Trump advisor. He's this operative of the Kremlin, and he's masquerading himself as a genuine Trump advisor, whereas he's working for the Kremlin. And they were pushing the FBI to investigate it. So you have two parts to that. You have the people who know how the FBI works and who use their credentials to make the FBI start the investigations. And then you have the FBI itself. And up until that point, what still hasn't been answered by the Durham investigation is, were the FBI, the specific team, were they purely incompetent, or were some of those people in cahoots with those who, as you rightly say, bore false witness?
Excellent summary. Where we are now with just the beginnings of the Durham investigation revealed in court, two indictments, both times Sussman and Denchenko, we're told, have pled not guilty. So now there are many more facts that needed to be revealed to the court and to the American people. Svetlana Lakova is an historian. She's the author of The Spy Who Changed History About Soviet Intelligence Operations in the 20th Century. She's also the author, most recently, of Spygate Exposed, about the conduct of some intelligence officers from the UK and the US, and maybe from Russia, in the 21st century. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.